In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Once upon a time, there was a country living in peace. Or that's how the story went. When all of a sudden, an autocrat from the east decided to invade. And his purpose was to wipe out that country, just wipe it off the map. Genocide. And though at first the invader hoped it would be a brief war, it became a protracted conflict. It lasted for months, and then years. And wars always bring with them death. They bring with them the trafficking of persons. They bring economic devastation, the flattening of infrastructure, and fields that lay fallow year after year as the people were hungry. Maybe you've heard this story before. It's a story that seems to come around with great regularity. However, the particular one I'm talking about today occurred in the 8th century BCE in the war between Aram and Samaria, or Israel, that we heard about in our first reading. And it's fascinating, right? Because who do you think is going to be the most powerful person in this war but the two kings who are opposing each other? And yet they are powerless. They are impotent. The king of Samaria says, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" He says, "I can't do anything." Even the prophet Elisha doesn't actually appear in today's account. He sends a message here, he sends a message there, but he never actually shows up. Instead, today's account from 2 Kings is a story of two people. One of those two people is the commander of Aram's army, and he is effective. He is powerful. He gets stuff done. And so the Bible names him Naaman, and the Bible labels him with words like hero and great man and victorious. But there's a second actor in our story, and this is a young girl who doesn't even get a name. She has been trafficked, kidnapped from her family and her town and her nation, and carried off and enslaved. And so she seems kind of helpless. In the world in which we live today, there are lots of loud voices seeking power over others. There are lots of people who want to wield power with contempt, like conquerors. And as we get caught up in that atmosphere, we sometimes find ourselves unable to sympathize with others, unable to find common ground. We find ourselves sometimes quick to anger, maybe feeling aggrieved or self-righteous. And when we feel this way, it can lead us to act in ways that belittle others, that tell stories about others, that gossip, that look down on others with contempt. And all of these practices of othering is in us a refusal to see the image of God in every human being. A refusal to see through God's eyes and to recognize the belovedness of all God's creation. And so othering is a path that leads to conflict. It leads to dysfunction. It leads to gridlock. It leads to war. There's only one thing that lies down that path of othering, and that is death. When othering happens on a national level, it leads to the death of a larger community, disintegration. And we see that throughout the Bible in the stories of different communities. But we also find in the Bible another option, another path, another possibility. And that is the possibility of solidarity, togetherness, loving God and loving neighbor, authentic community. It is the option of listening to that quiet voice of the Holy Spirit that urges us, invites us to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. And so what happens when we follow that second path is that we find that our allegiance will be given to no other person, no other party, more than it is given to God. That's what it means when we say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is the one who sets the standards for my attitudes and behaviors and words. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the best way to love your neighbor, the best way to love your spouse, to love your child, to love your friend, is by first of all loving God and learning from God what it means to love, how to love, and through your love of God, loving your neighbor. And what love is in personal relationships, the word doesn't fit so well maybe when we're talking about larger communities. And so there's another word for love, and that's the word justice. What love is for personal relationships, justice is on a larger scale, a national scale, an international scale. And so loving our neighbor writ large means enacting justice. And so as we approach our celebrations tomorrow, the 4th of July, Independence Day, giving thanks for so many great gifts that this country has given to us and generations before us, I would suggest that the greatest act of patriotism is to enact justice, to work for justice, to advocate for justice, because as we learn from the Bible and its many stories, it is justice that leads a nation to be great and strong and long-lasting. So, in our first reading today from 2 Kings, who is it that the Bible portrays as the hero of that story? The Bible is kind of subversive in this story, right? It uses words and names to highlight Naaman, right? The great man, the hero who is victorious. Never mind that he was a killer of Israelites, of the Hebrew people. But the plot tells a different story. And in the plot, this unnamed young girl is the person who changes the world, changes Naaman, changes lots of things. Despite the violence that has been done to her, and remember, she was carried off into captivity and enslaved, and Naaman was the commander who carried people off into captivity and enslaved them, and she served his wife. She was the victim, he was the culprit, and yet her words were words of healing. If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. And so this young girl saw Naaman not just as evil, not just as enemy, not just as genocidal, but as human, as worthy. Worthy of sympathy, worthy of care, worthy of healing, worthy of God's love. And so this young girl showed a loyalty, she showed a citizenship in a kingdom that was even greater than her own kingdom of Samaria, of Israel. Her citizenship in God's kingdom was buried down deep inside as formative for who she was, and not even Naaman, with all his power, could reach down and take it away from her. She continued to act out of her citizenship in God's kingdom, bringing healing to the world. There was a modern prophet who summarized today's story when he said, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." If Jesus is our King, our Sovereign, our Lord, if our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven, then love, justice is our weapon, and healing is our work. Amen.